Have you ever heard the expression, do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? You know it's in the Bible. Well, it comes from a situation in which it's reported in Mark where Jesus has just fed for the second time thousands of people. And he's leaving and getting into a boat with his disciples. And in the boat, Jesus overhears his disciples complaining amongst themselves. Did you bring the bread? We collected the basket. Did anybody? You mean we left the bread behind? And Jesus says, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? And then that line, do you have eyes, but they fail you? Do you not have ears, but do they fail you? Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves with the 5,000 people? How many pieces, how many baskets did we collect after? Oh, that was 12, Jesus. And just on shore there, when I broke 7 loaves for the 4,000 people who were there, and which we just fed, how many baskets full of bread did you pick up? Oh, that was 7, Jesus. And he looks at his disciples and says, do you still not understand? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear as to what Jesus is really about? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear what Jesus is about today? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear about Jesus and the future? Well, there were some events that took place on that Palm Sunday, and I'm just going to go over some of these events that are in Matthew and in John. When they neared Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, which you heard about in the little video, go over to the village across from you, and you'll find a donkey tethered there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks what you're doing, saying the master needs them, and he will send them back to you. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus had told them. Then they led the donkey and colt to him, laid some clothes on it, and Jesus mounted on it, and then it all began. Nearly all the people in the crowd that was around him started throwing their garments on the road, giving him a royal welcoming. Others cut down palm branches from the trees and threw them down as a welcome mat. And then the crowd shouted out, Hosanna! Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now the crowd who was with him had been with him when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And they were going around spreading the word to those that they were walking with and those within Jerusalem. Many people, because they had heard about the performing of the sign, came out of Jerusalem or were on the entrance to Jerusalem. And the crowds were all crying out, Hosanna, 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 blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Unnerved, some people were asking, what's going on? Who is this? And the crowd shouted to them, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth of Galilee. Now the Pharisees over to the side were saying, see, this is getting us nowhere. The whole world has gone after him. Now, given the tensions and expectations that have been growing about Jesus, this entry into Jerusalem was very dramatic. By openly entering the city where he is a marked person, remember, the authorities are got the word out, we want to get this guy. He takes the first step towards the final confrontation with these authorities. Now, you all have heard that Passover was one of the three major feasts that the Hebrew people were expected to attend, especially if you were close to Jerusalem or in Israel, you went there. And then if you were Jewish and you were living somewhere else in the world, you were expected to at least make one pilgrimage to Jerusalem for Passover. Now, this great crowd, which was gathering from Israel, from all over the world, was gathering news about this Jesus. And the crowd was truly shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, he comes in the name of the Lord." Now, these lines, these words, are actually from Psalm 118 that we've numbered them. It's one of the Psalms of Ascent. So on the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, remember you're going uphill to Jerusalem? And so when they would come close to Jerusalem, they would shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But the question is, does this crowd, or during other pilgrimages, other Passovers, does the crowd really understand what Jesus is truly about at this point? Patrice gave my sermon away. And the songs gave my sermon away. The prayer time we had gave my sermon away. I'm sitting here going, "Holy Spirit, what am I used for?" Just give the words, Wayne. Hosanna means, oh, got to go back. Save us, help us. Save us, help us. We thought it was just praise, praise, praise. No, we're calling out, "Save us, God. Help us, God." An expression that was used on a daily basis in encountering a king. And these palm branches, we've got to find my palm branches. There. The palm branches that the people were carrying and laying before Jesus were symbolic of a victorious ruler, a triumphal ruler, a ruler who would give peace and the offer of eternal life. That was the symbols of a palm branch. With a cry of "Hosanna, help, save us!" And the crowd seeing Jesus as their answer to their nationalistic, messianic, and patriotic hopes. That's what they were shouting about. Here's this great dream of a Davidic ruler who would come and liberate Israel, establish peace, subdue and defeat those Gentiles. You would think he would come riding on a horse, the symbol of power. But Jesus comes in on a young donkey. He makes a mess of this patriotic aspiration of the people. And I'll turn to my wife and say this. As one commentator says, he paints from a different palette. He's given us a different picture of a donkey. We'll go to slide 9. His actions undercuts this nationalism, this patriarch, this zeal, and points to a different direction, invoking an image from the prophet Zechariah, which Matthew and John paraphrased and added to their gospel writings. You see, I just outlined the events that took place. The writer said, "Oh, we got to add this because we kind of figured this out after all of this happened. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Jesus is indeed king, but not the sort of king they had in mind. The disciples did not make an immediate connection with Zechariah at that time. They too were caught up in the wave of nationalism and the events. They did not really understand what was going on. And that is my question to you. Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear what Jesus is about today and for the future? The disciples and the crowds thought that they were honoring Jesus, which they were, but they didn't really understand the true meaning of what was happening, nor what they were actually saying. Help us, save us. They did not put the events together until Jesus was glorified. You see, they needed to experience Jesus' death, resurrection, and get a little help from the Holy Spirit, who was not available until Pentecost. Come for that sermon. The full meaning of what took place is not only understood by looking at the prophetic words that the people were shouting, but also the prophetic scripture that had occurred to the disciples later on. See, the crowd's first words, "Help us and save us," were correct. Jesus had come precisely to help and save them, though it would not be through political or military intervention. The second line, which comes, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," which comes from a psalm, this line applies to Jesus in a way never before recognized by anyone else. See, the Gospel of John makes it clear that Jesus is the one who makes the Father known. I'll repeat that. Jesus is the one who makes known the Father to us. You've heard that sermon, you've studied it in the Gospel of John. And he has come to us in the Father's name. So to hear these words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," is unique and true when it comes to Jesus. For he came in the name of the Lord, which we call our Father in heaven. Now, donkeys and mules were an important part of life. And there were kings that would use them. Even David rode a donkey. And this passage from Zechariah, where Jesus is contrasted with war horses. Hear these words. These are the words of a prophet. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having the salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule will be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." Thus, by riding a donkey, Jesus does connect with the image of this messianic king. He enters Jerusalem at the time of Passover, but as a humble king. And if I had time, I would love to spin that off. Does that make God humble? Does that make God unconditionally loving? Does that kind of tilt our view of God? I hope it does. While the crowds built the Pharisees, oh, them again, on the other hand, we're getting more and more upset. You heard the words. "See, this is getting us nowhere." Then they concluded with a statement, "Look how the world has gone after him." Again, these words not only express dismay and frustration, but they're also examples of when something comes out of your mouth that later on you go, "Oh, that is important. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Another commentator of recent history has said that Jesus' influence on the lives of people has never been surpassed. No other great leader has inspired so many positive changes in the lives of the followers or in the world. People who encounter the risen Christ are totally transformed. Their outlook on life is altered forever. Staying true to their faith, they do not hesitate to face hardship, persecution, and even death. Many devote their lives to serving others and minimizing their own needs and desires, as being a chaplain at a university. Slide 10. And we need to cue the kids. Now, it's recorded in Matthew that actually Jesus had some good things to say to his disciples. And he says, during one of his teaching moments, he says, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous people desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Jesus blessed his disciples in saying, "I'm with you. I'm performing these miracles. I'm speaking with authority. I am revealing to you the God, our Father, and I promise to send you a comforter, a helper, a counselor." People were seeing and hearing and recognizing things that he was said. And then he went on further, and this is recorded in John, slide 12. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That brings us to the present. Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear as to what Jesus is really about? As events unfold around you, do you recognize Jesus? Birth of a child? Wow. Yep. God in creation, right there. The passing away of a saint. It's kind of a tough one, but yes, we recognize God's glory and God's promise of eternal life. But in between those two points are daily events. Do we see God's hands in them? Do we recognize what God is up to? Do we turn to Jesus in faith? I'm going to go off on a little tangent and come back, because I think it's a point of revelation. I don't know if all of you know, but Metro Community Church just bought Kiwanis Tower, just over here. It's going to kind of shake up this community around here. And some of the businesses are already concerned. What does that mean? You already, as a church, reach out through Freedom's Door and the Noonar for Narcotics Anonymous at the lunch hour. I received a request 2 days ago. Wayne, our potluck location, which we were going to have on Thursday night, isn't going to work out. So I may talk to Andrea, talk to Toby. They put me in touch with the Langs, I think it was. And the ESL group that meets is going to move. You're renovating a kitchen, which we need to support and work on. Is that really God's design, God's process? Well, Metro Community Church would like to have a potluck here on Thursday night. Is that God? Is that an opportunity for this church to have a real generous opportunity to say, "Welcome to the neighborhood. Can we work with you?" What's God up to? Can we truly say, and I want you to say with me in a very firm, confident voice, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And we have some music, and we have a wonderful, wonderful procession.